good time to talk to Will Brinson, Pick Six podcast moderator, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, who once a year, I guess, writes something. All right, let's start with the shiniest object. What's going to happen with Lamar Jackson?
It's a good question. We just did our podcast where we were like, who needs the most help in each division?
Right.
And the AFC North was really hard because, and look, putting aside what is happening off the field, you know, what off the field stuff, obviously. I just asked the question. I think we all agree the answer is Lamar, but you know, Deshaun or Lamar? Like we Deshaun Watson has been an All-Pro player and he's signed under contract for a lengthy amount of time. Granted, a terrible contract that will be very expensive. Yeah. But Lamar, you just don't know. You know, you can franchise tag him, but even if you franchise tag somebody, you don't force them to come in. You know, you are not. It's not like we're
correct.
Someone is being paid on their contract, and if they don't come in, you can start fining them and stuff like that. He has to sign that tender before he can be forced to come in. So I don't know. There's some unknowns there. I would assume that they will franchise tag him and try to work something out. I would guess they go the non-exclusive franchise tag, but.
But here's what the non-exclusive franchise tag is less expensive than by a little bit more than $10 million. And you and I have talked about it before. I can't find the figures anywhere, but it's like, isn't it like $45 million for the exclusive franchise tag, but $32 or $33 million for the non-exclusive?
Roughly. And it can, I believe, change after. So like free agency can change this because it's the. You'd see top five cap hits at the quarterback position, which means that you could see people restructure. You could see people
right.
Be released. You could, like, for instance, Ryan Tannehill, I think, is involved in the top five cap hits for this season at $36.6 million. These are the fifth one. But they can see, the Titans can save $17.6 million, I think, if they release him.
Right.
Or if, you know, they're like, hey, look, we need to figure some cap space. We're going to give you a dummy. There's a lot of stuff that can happen that can change that number, but
right.
roughly thereabouts, yeah.
All right, so certainly it would be better financially for the Ravens to do that. But if you do that and Lamar finds somebody out there, let's just say a sucker to give him the Deshaun Watson contract, then you could lose him if you're not willing to meet that for just two first-round picks. And to me, Lamar Jackson, wouldn't you say, is worth more than two first-round picks?
Yeah, in a vacuum, but not if you have to pay Lamar, too. So the reason you do the non-exclusive is that you're allowing the market to set the market. You're allowing the market you're allowing the teams who need a quarterback. With the market to set the market sounds kind of stupid, but I think it actually kind of makes sense. You're allowing whoever else is out there that may be interested in a quarterback like Lamar Jackson, and he might not be a fit for every team. For instance, the Carolina Panthers, in a vacuum, makes you like, oh, go get Lamar Jackson, but is he what, you know, Frank Reich wants to run his offense? So, you know, if you're Baltimore, it's a very tricky little dance. You have to examine the market, figure out what the market is, and decide, do we want to risk putting him out there to save $13 million in cap space? With the possibility of, you know, look, if he didn't get an offer he likes, I don't think he has to sign it. But if, you know, if the top offer he gets is like, you know, 75% of the Deshaun Watson deal from the Jets and the Ravens decide to match it, you know, if he signs it, then the Ravens match it. There's a whole different, like, bunch of ways that this could go.
Right.
It's very, very convoluted.
Yeah, look, having representation matters here.
Yeah, absolutely. And he doesn't have representation. That makes it more difficult to hammer out a deal. When you have an agent, that agent is intrinsically inclined to say, you need to get this deal done because, one, it's not a good look if your agent can't get a deal done. Two, I mean, it's just a bad look for the agent.
Right.
Two, the agent wants to get paid, and you can't get paid until that contract is signed. So you're almost always more likely to figure out a way to get a deal done if you have that agent. You know, we saw with Dak Prescott, you know, he had to, you know, I think he, you know, he had to deal with the Cowboys pushing it out as long as possible too. So it's not that different of a scenario. It's just, what is Lamar's tolerance for playing under the franchise tag on a, you know, is he willing to do a two-year, single-year deals with the franchise tag and then try to hit free agency?
So that's the next question I have for you. And I want to ask about a couple of other quarterbacks. Will Brinson is here. If the Ravens tag him, regardless, franchise or exclusive or non-exclusive, if the Ravens tag him, do you think Lamar Jackson will play on a franchise tag this year?
I think that he will play on a franchise tag because it is really difficult to get – it's not really difficult. It's just hard to get a deal done in the time span. So you have until – usually it's around July 15th.
Right.
When you sign somebody to the franchise tag to work out a long-term deal with them. And after that deadline passes, like 4 p.m. on Monday, whatever, around that time, I'll have to get a look. But after that deadline passes, you can not sign them until after the upcoming season. Like, you can't even negotiate with them
right.
during the season. It's against CBA rules. So you have this really short compressed window to sign somebody to a long-term deal. And when you get the franchise tag as a player, inherently you are just – it's like I'd love to date, but I don't want to get married, right? I
mean, right.
You feel insulted as a player. And so you're less likely to sign that deal. You understand that the team has pressure now on them. And that's also easier to work through those machinations when you have an agent. But I would think that if he gets tagged, it is probably 75-25. He plays on the tag.
I think he's gone. If they tag him and he gets to the start of the season, I think ultimately he's going to be with another organization either this year or next year. Are there any examples of signing somebody to a franchise tag, especially a quarterback, and that quarterback staying with you for the long haul? Kirk Cousins stayed for 2 years and he left.
Dak did.
He signed one franchise tag, right?
Yeah, right. I think he did the second tag. They used the second tag on him.
And then signed him
before that deadline. And we've seen Drew Brees.
We see how that's worked out. I'm just kidding.
No. But I mean, like, Drew Brees is the reason why in the new CBA they changed it where you can only tag, like, because Drew Brees got tagged by the Chargers once, and then he got tagged by the Saints twice. And he had a deal that they banged out before that deadline, too. Those would be the two examples. Like,
okay.
It happens a little more regularly.
But never mind what I said. So let me ask you about two other quarterbacks here, Will Brinson, because I think these are more fascinating. We've been talking about Lamar Jackson for 2 years. I think Daniel Jones and Geno Smith are more fascinating to me because I think they both come – the risks with Lamar Jackson are obvious, but the Daniel Jones and Geno Smith – contracts that they sign, like, these guys are at this point, they are one hit wonders. Daniel Jones is Looking Glass with the song Brandy, and Geno Smith is Safety Dance, Men Without Hats, I believe, right? That's what they are. We don't know what are they going to put up another are they going to put out another good song.
I didn't see that those analogies coming, but what about the Crash Test Dummies?
'99 Luft Balloons with Nana? I apologize for all of that.
It's fine. So Jones switched agents this week.
He did.
Moving from, after dropping CAA, which is pretty crazy, and signing with Athletes First, both are pretty, pretty... high profile agency, so it's not like a huge deal. It does seem like he wants quite a bit of money. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reported that he wants as much as $45 million per year on his next contract, which, I mean, obviously is, quite a bit more than I think people I think people sort of believe that, at least this is sort of how I kind of thought, honestly, is like Daniel Jones was going to say, okay, Brian Daboll fixed me. I played well last year.
Right.
I don't want to risk going to another place where I don't know what the future is, with the coaching staff. I don't know what how the offensive system will work for me, et cetera, et cetera. However, if you look at the contracts out there and we think about what we always say about quarterbacks, like, would it make any sense for Daniel Jones to take $2 million less per year than what Carson Wentz signed for? No. Would it make any sense for him to take what Matt Ryan signed for? No. Would it make sense for him to say, I would like something in the range of, I mean, like Kyler Murray got $46 million, and I'm not sure you'd definitely take Kyler Murray over Daniel Jones, like, in this moment right now.
No, I wouldn't, but that $46 million for Kyler Murray is moronic.
Yes, but, now, and look, the other thing, too, is he floats out $45 million per year. What that means is he's probably willing to take less than $45 million per year. He's right. Probably willing to take $40 million per year with a lot of guarantees. Or he's willing to take $45 million a year where you can get there with incentives, or when you actually dig into the contract, you're like, oh, this guy isn't making that much money. Because you look at Derek Carr's contract, the last one he signed before he was cut, and it's like no one ever reported how much guaranteed money he had, which was just insane, because it was like out of politeness for Derek Carr. Like,
right.
Nobody wanted to point out that he had like $4 million in guaranteed money in there. So you can get there a bunch of different ways in terms of what you need to get. And the agents care about is being able to say, this is the most guaranteed money
right.
for an average year on a new money basis in NFL history, or whatever they want to do. I would think that, I mean, Josh Allen is making $43 million. Patrick Mahomes is making $45 million. It's a tough sell to get him above those numbers. Having said that, I don't know if I'm Daniel Jones, I'm not taking less than Kirk Cousins or Dak Prescott, and they're at 35 and $40 million respectively.
Right, and that's probably where Daniel Jones should be, and I think the Giants would jump at that because it doesn't completely hamstring you from doing other things. So that would be good. Same thing for Geno Smith. I'm just fascinated because, even at $35 million, based on track record, we have no idea what Geno Smith is going to be next year and the year after, and we have no idea what Daniel Jones is going to be next year and the year after. We could see a reverting to the mean so easily next year because the track record was one thing, last year was another. All right, let me ask you one more thing. And this is about a quarterback.
Anyway, really quickly on Daniel Jones, it is a fascinating difference between, you look at Sam Darnold and how the Panthers quickly and unnecessarily picked up his fifth-year option.
Yes.
First, Daniel Jones, where the Giants did not pick up his fifth-year option, they could not be dealing with this at all. They didn't – I don't think anybody blamed him for not doing it, but they probably should have picked up the fifth-year option and then said, we don't want Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley to be on the exact same timeline when it comes to free agency. That would have just been smarter. And they
right.
didn't.
Well, because the Giants didn't really think they wanted Daniel Jones, which is why they didn't pick up the option. It's hysterical the way this has worked out. Finally, and we had about a minute here. Why did David Carr say that Derek Carr's free agency was going to be a long process? It seems to me that who's waiting really on Derek Carr?
David Carr said that because his brother wants the attention of being the top free agent quarterback out there.
Right.
And remember, David Carr is also the guy who routinely and without any sense of tongue-in-cheekness likes to put his brother as a top five breakout player, top five MVP candidate on his like NFL.com or NFL Network list. Like, he's like, and of course at number three, I have David Carr. And he's like, you're not even like kidding. Like, are you kidding me, bro? Like, I think it's basically, it's using his brother who's in the media to help sort of trying to generate more interest for his brother.
Yeah.
Being a mouthpiece for his brother, which is what he's done. And that's okay. Like, if my brother was a free agent quarterback, I'd probably do the same.
I mean, is Jimmy Garoppolo, he's not a free agent yet, right? Or he is a free agent, Jimmy G. He is a free agent. I'd rather have Jimmy G because I think it'll be cheaper than Derek Carr. If it comes down to, I can only have one or the other. I would rather have Garoppolo than Carr, and I think both of them are mid-level NFL quarterbacks. They're, top 20 NFL starting quarterbacks, but that's basically all that is. All right, Will Brinson, we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate your time, especially on short notice, on Fat Tuesday, no less.
Of course, happy Fat Tuesday, as always, buddy.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.